Welcome to another exclusive podcast from Pituitary World News. In today's podcast, Dr. Blevins shares his thoughts on stress in patients with pituitary and adrenal disease. He talks about his approaches and management of stress doses of steroids and adjustments in patients with adrenal insufficiencies. Here's Dr. Blevins.
Good morning, everybody. This is Dr. Lewis Blevins of Pituitary World News, podcasting from the coast of California. First, a shout out to my parents as they celebrate their 56th wedding anniversary today. That's remarkable. Who stays married anymore? I love them both dearly and see that their marriage has been a testimony to how things should be and could be, and wish them many more years of happiness together. So in follow-up to that, I thought today that we would talk about stress. Just joking. Actually, I want to talk about stress dosing of glucocorticoid hormones for patients with adrenal insufficiency. Now, I'm sure that most of you have learned somewhere along the way that the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis is involved in this physiologic response to stress in all mammals and probably all living beings that have an endocrine system. This axis activation leading to cortisol production is just one of the many facets of the stress response to maintain homeostasis and promote survival. It is, however, a critical facet of the stress response, as those of you who have adrenal insufficiency and have been caught short on steroids would be able to relate to the rest of us. And so I want to share with you my personal biases about stress in patients with pituitary disease and adrenal disease and how to manage that. And my approach and bias is largely through reading, having been taught over the years, but mostly from observation and interfacing with my patients to figure out what works best for them. And after a while, you learn sort of a traditional, I wouldn't even say traditional, but an approach that I would say is traditional for me to management of patients. It may not work for everybody, but it works for most people, and I'll share those responses and attitudes in this podcast with you today. First, a word about cortisol. Most of you know this is a glucocorticoid hormone, and we call it a glucocorticoid hormone because it is produced by the adrenal cortex, and its role is to increase blood glucose levels when needed. This provides glucose as a fuel for brain and muscle and whatever else you need to fight or flight in response to a stressful experience. Glucocorticoids also act on the blood vessels to help maintain blood pressure and prevent shock. They increase cardiac contractility or cardiac output to do the same. Importantly, they tamper the immune system response to infections. For example, if you have a bacterial infection, your immune system responds to that and releases a bunch of stuff, cytokines, interleukins, etc., into the circulation that can lead to low blood pressure and cause fever and make you feel poorly. And the immune system, through cortisol production, kills some of those immune cells and decreases the inflammatory response to those inflammatory cytokines, and therefore you don't get as sick. So it's a way of auto-regulating or tamping down the response to make sure that it's not exuberant. Patients who lack glucocorticoids are thus more likely to have shock and serious illness and high fever in response to simple infections. That's pretty much an overview, but you can see that it's important to have glucocorticoids not only at all times because it's sort of a basic operating system hormone, but especially during times of stress. The other important steroid produced by the adrenal glands is aldosterone, produced by the zona glomerulosa. That's a mineralocorticoid that wastes potassium and retains salt, and thereby, in an obligatory way, water, and helps maintain blood pressure. That drug is essential to patients who have primary adrenal insufficiency, who have primary adrenal disease or have had their adrenal glands removed in the state of Cushing syndrome, for example. It's said that adrenal crisis is far much more common in patients who have primary adrenal insufficiency than those with central adrenal insufficiency due to hypothalamic or pituitary disease. I would have to say that in my 29 years of experience as a physician, that that's indeed true. We rarely see adrenal crisis in patients who have pituitary disease, but I have seen it regularly throughout my career, so that can happen and is something to be aware of and to know that it's important to understand how to manage your adrenal insufficiency during times of stress to prevent such crisis. So next I want to go through some of the biggest problems in this arena. And I made a list. And the first one is that patients don't always take their medications. You must take your medications. You have to have this drug, whatever drug you're taking to get your steroids back to normal levels. You have to have it on board at all times. Don't skip. Don't skimp. Get your prescription filled before you run out of your medications. Do whatever it takes to remember to take your glucocorticoid hormone every single day. Don't get caught injured or sick with an infection or some other illness without steroids on board. The next issue or problem is no medic alert bracelet. And everyone who takes glucocorticoid hormones, especially for life, should have a medic alert bracelet indicating that they have hypopituitarism or whatever diagnosis, even diabetes insipidus if that's the case. But it should also say that they are open quote steroid dependent close quote, just so that healthcare providers will know that as an individual you require glucocorticoid hormones for stressful situations in the event that you're unable to give a history. It's also important, I think, to carry an ID card in your wallet. And I'll tell you, if I had adrenal insufficiency, I would put a piece of tape over the front of my driver's license and put it on that tape or somehow put it on the driver's license, maybe with a permanent marker, just so that everyone knew that I had adrenal insufficiency, because the driver's license is the first thing they're going to look at if you're found unconscious or down or unable to give a history about who you are, your diagnosis, and any medical problems and medications. Another problem is that generally healthcare professionals and other providers and institutions really have rote ways of responding to the stress needs for individuals with steroid dependency. And sometimes, I mean, frankly, they don't even recognize that steroids are necessary. So I think that this is an issue of inadequate education of the medical professionals about who requires steroids, may require steroids, how to deal with stress doses in the event that those are required for one reason or another. Another issue is that patients are often not educated and are unaware that they must increase their dose of glucocorticoids, or maybe they're unable because of other medical problems, lack of appropriate mental faculties, for example. And the last I would have to say is over-treatment or overzealous use of stress dose steroids. And that's one that falls squarely on the shoulders of the patients. However, I have seen some physicians advise patients to take steroids when unnecessary. One must remember that glucocorticoids have a narrow therapeutic window or index. They're double-edged swords. While one edge can help you fight off infection and prevent shock, the other edge can hurt you. And too much glucocorticoid is not good at all. I've seen several patients in my career who take extra steroids for minor stresses. Maybe they had a bad thought about their dog and they go take extra glucocorticoids to deal with that stress or whatever. And that usually will result in Cushingoid features over time. So you have to be very careful and only take them when you definitely need them. One of the problems I've seen all too often in my practice is patients take a little bit of extra steroid because they don't feel particularly well one day and they feel better. So they take that higher dose for a while until they don't feel well again for whatever reason, and then they go up even higher on their dose of glucocorticoids and they feel great for a while. Take that dose for a while, then they start feeling poorly because of the Cushingoid side effects, so they take a little bit of extra steroid and they feel even better. And they keep going with this vicious cycle, spiraling upwards on the dose of the medication, and come in with severe muscle wasting, hyperglycemia, hypertension, muscle atrophy, fat gain, and classic Cushingoid features. And this is certainly to be avoided. So I have to include this as one of the problems in the whole notion of stress dose steroids, because I think it's important as a patient that you're aware that you can take too much of this medication, even though you're trying to take the right amounts for the right reasons. Now, I've written about steroid dose equivalence and typical doses that I consider to be replacement doses for patients who have central or primary adrenal insufficiency, and I'll review those briefly here. First, dexamethasone in doses of 0.25 to 0.375 milligram daily. Usually that's taken as a once daily dose, most often at bedtime, so levels are high when you're supposed to be making steroids between 4 and 8 a.m. Hydrocortisone in doses of 15 to 20, rarely 25 or 30 milligrams daily, and usually in split doses 2 to 3 times a day. Cortisone acetate is 25 to 37.5 milligram daily, and prednisone is 3 to 5 milligram daily. These are about the doses that you should be taking, depending on which drug you're using, on a daily basis in a non-stressed situation. Most of the recommendations that have come out of the literature and physician experience for stress dosing steroids are related to the fact that in major abdominal surgery, the adrenal gland's cortisol output is increased by 5 to 10 times over normal. And that's really thought to be maximum stress with anesthesia and all of that nonsense. Mild to moderate stress, probably 2 to 5 times normal production, but no one's really quantified that. And I think a lot of the recommendations we give are actually based on what we try and what seems to work for our patients. And generally speaking, for mild to moderate stress, 2 to 5 times an increase in the daily dose of glucocorticoid equivalent would be appropriate. That's about what I use for pituitary surgery, for example. If a patient's having major abdominal surgery or is septic with an infection, we may go up to 10 times the usual steroid production rate in order to try to combat the potential adverse consequences of whatever's going on with the patient and prevent shock, for example. So if you called my office and said you had the flu and your temperature was 100 degrees, I'd probably have you triple your dose of medication for a few days. If you required hospitalization for an infection or major surgery, we would probably give you hydrocortisone 50 to 100 milligrams IV every 8 hours. If you're pregnant and going to deliver a baby or to have a cesarean section, we would probably give you 5 times the equivalent of adrenal daily output or 5 times your dose in the form of hydrocortisone IV. So some other examples. I mentioned fever. If you have the flu, if you're going to have major dental work performed, not just a cleaning or a tooth pulled, but really serious major work, if you're injured and require medical assistance or a visit to the emergency room, if you have a urinary infection, a sinus infection, any one of those number of things, if you require major surgery, hospitalization for one reason or another, those are all things that would prompt us to either say you should increase your dose of glucocorticoid or the healthcare provider should administer it to you. Hopefully this is intuitive to all of you listening. It's important to recognize that I don't think you need extra steroids if you're upset at a coworker or with a child, or if you simply don't feel well one day, but there's no obvious explanation for it. If you don't feel well because you're sick with an infection, that's a different story. But if your mood is down, for example, those are not reasons to increase dose of glucocorticoid. If, however, you've had a major psychological event, such as a move, loss of a job, loss of a loved one, for example, that would be a reason to have to take extra doses of glucocorticoids, because that psychic stress is going to have a physiological component. But it has to be significant. It can't be just that you don't feel well one day and you're upset at your neighbor. You know, it has to be a significant physiological response to an emotional problem before I would say take extra steroids in response to emotional stress. And again, my attitude or opinion is based on the fact that these drugs are very dangerous if you take too much. And I think it's important to avoid over-replacement or over-treatment in response to stress, as it is to avoid not taking enough during response to stress. And I consider those to be equal, or I should say of equal importance. Now, if you are home and we've asked you to take extra steroids, that recommendation may last 1 to 3 days, as much as 5 days, depending on how you're doing and how you're feeling. Most people recover reasonably well if they're being treated for whatever is increasing their physiological stress. And if you're not doing well, you probably need to see your doctor or go to emergency room to be evaluated, just to ensure that all the bases are covered and that the underlying cause for being unwell has been elucidated and treated. And that's simply because steroids are not the treatment for urinary tract infection, if that's what's going on, or pneumonia or sinus infection or what have you. And if you're hospitalized for major surgery, usually stress doses of glucocorticoids will be administered in a tapering fashion, with 5 to 10 times the dose for a day or two, and then 5 times or maybe 3 times the dose for a couple days, and then ultimately you'll be tapered back to your usual dose of steroids, and that should happen fairly quickly without significant delay. Of course, that taper is based on your sense of well-being and how you're doing, and I've had patients require longer tapers than the usual, and other patients come off steroids fairly quickly. Truthfully, this whole process is one of trial and error because no two patients are alike. You will, over time, hopefully you won't, but over time you'll probably learn about your body and what your requirements are and learn to recognize when you need extra steroids and when you must seek medical attention because something else must be going on. And I know some of my patients have learned through life experiences that, oh my goodness, you know, I had a urinary tract infection, didn't know it, now I know what to look for. And I know that symptoms of adrenal insufficiency, weakness, fatigue, lassitude, dizziness on standing, loss of appetite, nausea, etc., may be the warning sign that something else is going on and that I need extra steroids. So be in touch with your bodies and read those symptoms and signs and seek medical attention when necessary. I can't underestimate the importance of treating other medical problems and illnesses and not attributing those things to adrenal, or the symptoms of those things to adrenal insufficiency. For example, one of our listeners and someone that I know had asked about symptoms of POTS and orthostatic intolerance and how do you work steroids into that. And the best advice is to not work steroids into it, but use traditional approaches to the management of that particular disorder. Same is true of fibromyalgia. Many of the symptoms of fibromyalgia are seen in patients with adrenal insufficiency. You want to treat the fibromyalgia with drugs that manage that disorder, not with steroids. Let me spend a little bit of time talking about injectable steroids. When I was in my training in early parts of my career, I used to give patients a prescription for injectable solu-Cortef, which is the IV form of hydrocortisone, or injectable dexamethasone. And patients would often be advised to, if you felt like you needed stress dose steroids, take the injection, seek medical attention. And what I found was that most of the time patients didn't use those injections. They expired. And then some research came out that suggested those preparations aren't stable long-term anyways. And the recommendation was that we probably aren't getting anywhere with them. And when patients inject them, they're getting an inert substance because of the degradation of the product. So the bioavailability was drawn into question. The other thing I noticed is that a lot of patients were injecting for simple little stressful things and coming in with weight gain and Cushingoid features. And then also, most patients could get medical attention or take their oral steroids and get medical attention in lieu of an injection, so it seemed like they were relatively unnecessary. And I wasn't seeing patients use the injectables, and everybody was doing fine taking oral steroids or seeking medical attention right away. So I tend not to prescribe the injectable steroids these days. If a patient asks for them, we'll try to do it, but it is rather cumbersome. probably the best situation for them is in a patient who has primary adrenal insufficiency, and in the event that they get nausea and vomiting at home, they can take their injection and call 911 and get an ambulance ride to the emergency room. But for patients with pituitary diseases, adrenal crisis is so vanishingly rare that it doesn't make sense to carry steroids around in your glove box and at home and at work unless you have primary adrenal insufficiency. So I tend not to prescribe them for my pituitary patients, but it's something that I always scratch my head about with the primary adrenal insufficiency patients, especially those with Cushing's who've had bilateral adrenalectomy. If you decide to obtain a prescription for it, or if you have one, just ensure that you refill it before the drug expires so that you know, or at least have some peace of mind that if you inject, you're going to be getting the intended dose of the drug. And again, make sure that you don't inject too much and that you use traditional doses, probably 1 to 4 milligrams of dexamethasone and 50 milligrams of hydrocortisone. And then I feel if you have to take an injection, you need to go to the emergency room. So that's an important part of this whole response to the stress that requires you to take steroids. So I'd like to close by saying that there's plenty of information on our website at pituitaryworldnews.com on adrenal insufficiency. And also the National Adrenal Diseases Foundation is a very useful resource and a good support group to be a part of. So if you take steroids or steroids and mineralocorticoids and will be taking them for life, you probably should pay attention to their websites and maybe sign up for a newsletter as well. Once again, this has been Dr. Lewis Blevins of Pituitary World News podcasting on stress doses of steroids and adjustments in patients who have adrenal insufficiency. I hope this has been useful. Please keep your comments and your questions coming because it helps us better direct our educational efforts towards you. And have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to another exclusive podcast from Pituitary World News. Thank you for listening.